It's the Rick Emerson Show. By the way, in the engineering room, Will has now brought that song up in five different windows, so it's playing at different, you know, overlapping intervals.
No, Sean turned down the speaker, so you can't hear it now.
Oh, good. All right. 503-733-2970. Rick, what about Carrie Fisher and the flamethrower in the Blues Brothers? She ruled it by being proficient in operating the flamethrower, but was barely able to start the car on the scene. Classic. Joel in North Portland. There you go. That's a fantastic use of flamethrower, by the way. The best part is how the flamethrower in the Blues Brothers, unless I'm wrong about this, I guess they were maybe next to a propane tank or something, because the flamethrower somehow blew up a phone booth. All right. Subject line, Emerson, you tool. God damn, can you please turn off that stream of mind-killing crap? Turn it off now, 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 now. 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 There you go. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Well, you know, because we've been using for the longest time where the hell did it go? For the longest time, I've been using that Cosby thing.
Oh, please don't play it.
No. I'm just saying, I'm not going to play the whole thing. But I am making the observation that whenever someone would swear on the air, necessitating that we would have to use the dump button, and then it takes time to build back up, and so we would punish people with by playing this Bill Cosby thing, which I will not play now. But I think this might be our new Punish the Audience song.
I really like it, though. I can't... It's stuck in my head. You're right, though.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. It's rainy and windy outside, and nobody bought a coat or an umbrella anywhere.
No, in fact...
Is it raining where you are?
No. I'm kind of disappointed in the Ronk. He did not say it was going to be raining today.
Is that Mark Ronchetti?
Yeah.
Is that why he's leaving? Yeah. Well, no, that's... He's everybody knows that. Oh.
No, you think of somebody else.
I'm thinking of somebody.
Rhonda Shelby, I think, has another pregnancy.
I thought that... Hi.
Let's play the song.
You know what I like is... I like cheese. Hi, let's talk to Dan. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
About time you turned that down.
Yeah, well, you know.
I thought Doris Day moved to Tokyo.
And I just had it. See, there's a comedic opportunity lost because I didn't... Oh, wait. There you go. Yeah, no, this is... And the best part about it is, again, if you look at the... And I'll put this link on my website later. It is a Japanimation piece. It's a young girl, I swear to God, twirling a leek, which is like a big radish, I think. And I don't know why she's twirling a leek.
Is that the national vegetable?
So there you go. So I'll put this on the website later, Dan, so you can torment your friends with it. All right, there you go. Guy waited like 40 minutes to say that. Hey, Rick, thanks. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, prayer vigils and protests are going on over today's opening of the controversial motion picture of the Da Vinci Code. They're planned throughout the nation. Here's another crazy group. We have John Horvat, a spokesman for the American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property. He said the book...
What, are all the good names taken?
I guess so. And he says the movie is blasphemous and full of lies and errors.
Sarah, can you turn my computer up? Oh, is that me? Oh, I'm sorry, that's me. I turned it down to get away from
these are things that were refuted in the early days of the church, and they're just being brought up, and many people don't have the elements to deal with it.
I don't understand. I swear to God, I'm not trying to have a whole conversation about Christianity and the Da Vinci Code. But let me just enter talk show mode for just one moment here. Let me be very clear about this. I'm not trying.
All lines are open.
No, we have one line open.
And lay it on the line.
You didn't just say that. I want to know what you think, America. What is it, Dennis Miller? What was his number? 1-800-LACTOSE. What was Dennis? Isn't that lactose or lactate?
I think you're thinking of Stephanie Prager.
No. Stephanie Prager. It's a hybrid host. No, Dennis Miller used to do that. America, I want to know what you think. It's 1-800-LACTOSE. I think it was lactose. That was Dennis Miller's call-in number when he did that show on HBO. Well, whatever. Anyway, stop it. I don't want to have a whole discussion about Christianity and
because
the roots of the
coin has no plans to come up today.
No.
So we don't need it.
No, I don't. But here's what I want. Here's what I do want. If you are sane and somewhat cogent and to the point. I really am asking this in all honesty. This is not a rhetorical question. I will give you the number. If you begin droning on and on and on, it was not the end of the whole thing, but it's 503-733-2970. Here's what I don't understand. I really honestly don't understand this, because the whole crux of the controversy, or controversy as they say in Britain, it seems to be the idea that Jesus might have had sex at one point while married. Which I would think they would be all for. I mean, I...
Especially since it's with a woman.
Yes. Stop hanging around with a bunch of dudes in robes. I honestly don't understand this. And I know that we have some churchy la femmes out there. And so if you are one of them, please just to explain why it's such a big deal. If Jesus were to get married, and again, it wasn't like he was out schlepping around with some woman in an alley.
Well, because then I can tell you, I mean, one of the big reasons about it is because it would disprove the Bible. Because it would show that the Bible is fake.
It wouldn't. The Bible doesn't say he wasn't married.
But it catalogs his life pretty well.
It really doesn't. It doesn't catalog his life at all. To the best of my knowledge, didn't Jesus go from being like 12 when they find him in the temple speaking to the elders to then suddenly being like 33?
I honestly have no idea.
And I'm pretty sure that the Bible at one point refers to... I may be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure, if memory serves, that the Bible actually refers to Jesus' brothers at one point, which many people have debated. I mean, I'm actually going to bleep that. I'm just going to bleep that. That was inadvertent. I guess what I'm saying is it's like people will go on about, well, it was Mary Magdalene because Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There's no evidence. The Bible never says Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There's a little secret from me to you. Next time somebody opens his yap, starts talking about, well, Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. That's what we call something that's been made up. So, but they make it up and they just repeat it over and over and over again until people start believing it. I guess what I'm saying is Christians are all for men and women getting married and having intercourse and having all kinds of little Christians. And so it would seem like if this were true that Jesus and Mrs. Jesus got married and had the lawful married intercourse, he would be even more so the model for Christians today, because that's what Christians want you to do. Get married to someone with different parts than your own, have lots of boring missionary position sex, and then reproduce.
And so, rent out the church reception hall for the...
Yes, and have lots of mayonnaise. And so I just don't understand. And again, I'm not trying to be...
A funny talk show.
I'm not trying to be a funny talk show. I'm not trying to be edgy. I'm not trying to be provocative. I just honestly don't understand. It's just one of those things I really don't get. 9 years of Catholic school, I don't get why it would be a problem. Because they're not talking about Jesus doing anything that's forbidden or sinful or against one of the commandments. It is, in fact, a theory that Jesus might have engaged in exactly the same way that the church tells people now to behave. I'm sorry. I'm just doing the whole thing. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Mike Wallace is actually retiring tonight and saying goodbye. You thought he already did, but he isn't. He's going to be doing it officially this weekend on 60 Minutes. He's 88, and he's decided to retire from the CBS News program after nearly 38 years there.
I love that guy, and he's still got it together.
Yeah.
He's still sharp as a tack.
Mm-hmm. He says he can't think of a better job in the world.
To go any place in the world on CBS's tab and without the power of subpoena to get people who don't want to talk. It's just a reporter's job can be absolutely fascinating.
How great is that guy? Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yep.
Listen, they've still got the great delivery, the golden voice. Mm-hmm. You know who's still sharp is Walter Cronkite, too.
Yeah.
You see, Cronkite, he's still got it going on. He's more lucid than I am.
Yep.
So I'm so proud that we can, even for just one glorious 90-day period, we could call Mike Wallace a colleague and a co-worker.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because of our hiring that he was forced out early.
It really is true. Mike Wallace's budget had to go here to pay us.
Meanwhile, he said he's had some problems along the way, including suffering with depression.
I defy any individual who suffers from clinical depression to say that he hasn't thought about suicide. Of course you've thought about suicide, because the pain is just destructive.
This is from an interview with Leslie Stahl, right? This is going to be on 60 Minutes this coming Sunday, where he actually admits that he tried to kill himself 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to kill himself in 1986, I guess that would be, when he was already 68. So, anyway, so he's, man, what people can knock on 60 Minutes or CBS or scream liberal this or whatever they want, but those guys are fantastic reporters. They are the gold standard in many ways.
Of the Tiffany Network.
Yeah, and I mean, in the post-Murrow era, those guys, and I would put Mike Wallace right at the top of the heap, they are the absolute benchmark by which news reporters are judged. I mean, maybe people don't appreciate it now how big and important and looming and impressive CBS and 60 Minutes really were. But 60 Minutes for, I mean, clearly you know this. Everybody my age and older knows that 60 Minutes was a monolith. They were the apotheosis of all of this news gathering stuff now. So anyway.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, he's going to live a long life. Look at Fidel Castro. His doctor now says Fidel will live to be 140. Correcting an earlier error when he said he would only live to be 130.
I thought 120 was the benchmark for what they said the natural age of man was. The maximum age you could live to be was 120.
Only if you're not Fidel's doctor. Okay. This all came up after Fidel tripped and fell on his face over a folding chair a couple years ago.
I remember that.
Doctor was forced to say, oh, no, he'll live to be 130.
G. Gordon Liddy is always talking about that. He's like, I will live to be 120 years old because that is the age of man. That's exactly how he talks, by the way.
Meanwhile, the innovation and artistry of Jim Henson will be on display at Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. The Muppet's going to be there.
Sarah did a call forward on this earlier.
The very first Kermit, which was created in 1955 by Jim Henson, and it's made out of his mother's spring coat. And Kermit was not a frog when he was first created. He was a lizard-like creature.
My dog's name's Muppet. Well, you know that. He looks like a little Jim Henson Muppet.
Come on, let's all... Do we have the appropriate sounder for that? Let's all with the... Thank you. Okay, there you go. Your dog is adorable.
Yes.
Let's all tell dog stories. On second thought, let's never tell dog stories.
No.
There you go. There's some. I went to the Smithsonian and I saw one of the original Kermits there, which is pretty fantastic.
There's this great... they do like this 20-minute documentary at the end of Labyrinth, the DVD version, where they show how they, you know, created all the creatures and stuff.
Do you know how much hotter you are to all guys because you're into Labyrinth and there's a Goblin King in there?
Yeah.
And David Bowie. And
there's Purple Spandex.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, maybe not so much now, but moments ago, you were much hotter to guys. All right, well, we'll continue this in a moment, then we'll break, and then we'll do the... So we'll go back to the city desk here in just a second. We got to do this new watch, and then we got to do the top five, and Scott Daly's going to call. But I don't want to put out the call and then not take any of the calls. So let me just do a couple of these. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
All right, so there's the whole Da Vinci thing, blah, 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 Jesus, blah, 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 married, blah, 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 kids. So what is the big deal?
So the Christians are getting all upset because, well, you started to read the book, but in the beginning they say that the book's fictional, but all the documents and artwork and all that historical stuff is real.
Right.
And so a lot of people think it's real, people like Clive. But it's not so much that Jesus had sex, had a wife or whatever. They said that was originally in the Bible, but that the Catholic Church or Rome went back and removed all that stuff and made the Bible how it is now. So it would undermine Christianity how it is.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, it seems like the Christians, like their whole upset is over the fact that Jesus might have been married. It seems like that's where the rub really comes, that they don't like the implication that Jesus might have been married and with a woman. I mean, that's every comment I've ever seen is based on that they don't like that implication.
Well, it implies more that the church covered it up over the years.
Yes, because there's no precedent for that kind of thing, of course.
No,
all right. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks.
All right. I'm looking for an actual Christian to call here and tell me why, as a Christian, it's sort of upsetting. That's kind of my thing. Brad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
What do you got, Brad? What's up?
Hey, well... You know, I think really Mary Magdalene suffered from a bad publicist. She wasn't so much a prostitute as maybe the original Penny Lane of her day.
She
just wanted to get at the VIP section, so she's hanging out with these guys.
This is, by the way, a caller making these observations. We, of course, respect all faiths beliefs. Well, look,
I actually do have some legitimate input into this. The biggest issue that the church has of this is that if Jesus were to be married and moving on and having kids and stuff, that he did not die, did not get resurrected, and the entire basis for Christianity is out the door.
Well, I don't think they're saying he didn't die and whatever, but they're saying that between the age of 12 and 33, he got married, which is, you know, most guys do. So I just don't know. All right, Brad, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Josh, you're getting no closer to this. Josh, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
No, I'm not going to get you any closer. I'm about as goyish as you get, but this is my understanding.
Okay.
At a couple points in the Bible, this is rabbi.
I'm sorry, what?
They refer to Jesus as rabbi.
Right, yes.
To be a rabbi under the Jewish faith, you've got to be married.
Yes.
So there it is.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, and as somebody else, and I noted this the other day, and somebody else told me that I was right about this. Again, I'm not a scholar, but I do believe that under Jewish law, the woman who prepares your body after death for burial must be a wife or family member, which I believe Mary Magdalene did.
Notes.
Yeah, so it does seem like the Bible itself sort of indicates that they were married, which again is not a sin or a crime or whatever. 33-year-old guy when you died at 40. It seems like the odds are like 99% that he would be married. So
he's a good guy. Said everyone should be nice to each other. We killed him for it. What would Jesus do? Probably get crucified again.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Josh.
Take it easy.
All right, there you go. He
took a bunch of survival jobs in his 20s.
He's a temp. There you go. There's your wacky FMB. You can just do like a Jesus, you know, where would Jesus work? And then you cut to like Jesus working at like a Pip printing or something, you know? Don, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Good to hear you back again.
Thank
you.
Want
the Christian input on this?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Your basic problem is if Jesus had children and was married, he didn't die on the cross, and the whole priesthood, the whole concept of Christianity.
Why? Okay, but you're like the second guy to say that.
Because it would be after the crucifixion where the book says he got married, he went to France and had all these little kids and stuff.
I see. So the book claims he was crucified first, marriage later.
Well, yeah. So if he was crucified, he couldn't get married and have kids.
Ah, okay.
And that's the whole concept. So
okay.
If you accept this Mary Magdalene nonsense, your whole basis of your faith is out the door.
Ah, well, there you go. Well, you know what? Can we just speak plainly here as adults? It seems like if you are willing to believe, and again, I am not casting aspersions one way or the other, if you are willing to believe as fact that a guy, you know, rose from the dead, walked on water, ascended into heaven, raised other people from the dead, turned water to wine, created the earth in 7 days and fed the multitudes with 2 loaves and some fishes, it seems like you could probably buy that he was crucified and then turned up in France later.
You're the Son of God. Those miracles are just to demonstrate to the people,
really,
this is who I am.
I'm saying, really, it seems like at that point, and really, nothing's off the table.
Jesus was crucified and went to heaven. He didn't go to France and have kids with Mary Magdalene.
Okay, maybe that's in the sequel. All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right, there you go. And thus endeth the Christian talk.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the McCartney watch.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. It's time to introduce a brand new watch on the Rick Emerson Show, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please put your working class hands together for this, the Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch.
Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Sir Paul McCartney's estranged wife Heather Mills said she's so heartbroken over a breakup with the rock legend, she has suffered a relapse and has been put back into a wheelchair.
What a relapse? Your leg is either attached or it's not. Get a new one.
The animal rights activist is recovering from corrective surgery after a metal plate from her pelvis that connects her to her false leg shifted a few weeks ago.
A metal plate from your pelvis.
You think they could afford better, wouldn't you?
Well, they are British. Things can only be so good over there. $1 billion... Can't even keep your leg attached. What good is money, really? What shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose a leg and a metal plate on his pelvis?
We're very worried about her, a friend told a British newspaper. She's at a very low ebb both emotionally and physically. She's unable to walk and is in a wheelchair. She's in so much pain. She's in a very low place. So they must have lowered
the
wheelchair.
She's in a low place.
Oh, Rick.
Come on. You know that's funny. All right, fine. Go ahead.
That's it?
No, don't we have a second? And we have a second. Isn't there more?
Let's see here.
Well, there's something about how she might be getting, what is it, like $1 million for every week they were married?
Yeah, let me look here. Since Sir Paul told Miss Mills he wanted a divorce, the pair has remained cordial, intent on doing what is best for her toddler daughter. Vicious. That's hard to say.
Toddler. That's fantastic.
Friends, however, fear that if they fail to reach a custody agreement, things could turn nasty. Sources close to the Beatles say he is determined to be the one who raises their 2-year-old daughter. Miss Mills, who's 38, who is caring for her, is just as keen to bring up Beatrice in her own way. This is some British written thing. Ironically, Miss Mills released a self-help book, Life Balance, in which she addresses reports that she was a gold digger and advised on how to maintain a healthy relationship. The couple on Wednesday announced their separation after 4 years of marriage.
Okay. I'm not gonna do any puns. That would be wrong. I'll let you do those. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com or 503-733-2970. There's your Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch for Friday.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help.
All right, so let me go to the phones here just a second, and we'll welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Then we will have a couple more news stories, then we'll break, then we'll do the top five. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from FilmFeverRadio.com. Our good friend Scott Daly. How are you, sir?
I'm running about 32 hours of no sleep. Other than that, I'm great.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on, Sarah.
You know we haven't taken a break, right?
We took a break like 5 minutes ago.
No, we didn't. We gotta go.
Oh.
Scott? Sorry, Scott. I didn't know he was going to you.
I'm Scott. We're gonna put you back on hold now.
Okay.
All right.
Make that 33 hours of no sleep.
Sorry. I thought we took a break like 8-9 minutes ago.
No, we really didn't.
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
What are the odds we did it and you guys just forgot it?
Oh, pretty high, Rick.
Shut your head. All right, back after this. It's Rick Emerson, Show on AM970 Solid State Radio.
Holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, speak.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. I'm shouting to be heard. How are you?
You're always shouting.
That's like that, man. I gotta tell you, that's like that thing Lycus did the other day. Lycus was in New York, not last week. I think maybe it was last week. But man, I gotta tell you, I know that he is, as they say in the media, a polarizing figure. But he was in New York last week, and he did some of the funniest stuff I've ever heard in my life. Because there was like an engineer from, wait for it, CBS Radio. There that was running his show, and the engineer just left 20 minutes into a 4-hour show. Microphone wasn't working, things falling over, the pots on the board weren't functioning correctly, he couldn't be heard. But you know what, that guy just, he spun comedic gold out of it. Alright, let's go back to the phones. It's Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How's everyone over there?
Sir, we're keeping it over like an hour.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's your fault for not coming in.
That's exactly what I get for not coming in.
Let me ask you this. If I asked you today if you'd seen any films to review, would I regret it?
You might. Maybe that's the reason not in.
In what ways are you still a film critic, Scott Daly?
Well, I explained to
you,
film
website
and
with
last
the word film
week
in it.
That I just recently got back on the press screening. So next week I will have a full review of X-Men 3.
Okay.
Write it down, put it in the mail, I swear.
X-Men 3
tomorrow.
Next week.
Or next week.
Okay.
Write it down, post it on your bond, on what MySpace, whatever you like, but it'll be there.
Okay.
I guarantee you. If I do not, I will kick myself off the show.
Okay. Right. You guys have got a new... What's up at FilmFeverRadio.com?
Well, because this has been such a crazy week for both Aaron and I was out of town. And
you haven't even done a new episode on your website.
No, we will have a new episode up tonight. And Aaron will have seen Da Vinci Code and will have a review of it tonight as well. So Aaron will have a shortened show, but schedules have been crazy and it's been that time of year for everybody. But I do want to say this about Da Vinci Code. The book is a fictional story.
Yes.
These people need to relax.
I know. You know, right? They need to relax. They need to relax and just listen to this music.
Yes, that makes me relax, actually.
It does.
But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know. They're nitwits. No, they're fools.
There's no truth in it. It's all fiction, people. Yes. Come on.
And it says, the best part is on the side, it says novel.
Although I find it very interesting that it opened at Cannes on Tuesday night, and for the very first screening was for international film critics.
Yeah,
and it got panned.
No, everybody reamed
people
it.
Are destroying it, saying it's boring. There's no substance.
Well, they're probably right.
It's all just dull. But you will have the definitive review later on tonight at filmfeverradio.com.
All right, but more importantly, you will be here next week with a review of what, the X-Men 3
Last Stand. Yes.
All right.
And Scott, isn't it your birthday today?
No, my birthday is next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Okay, I thought it was sometime
No, and actually, I just came back from a birthday party for my son with four kids at McDonald's. So
you're basically wanting to kill yourself right now.
All right, yeah, I'm ready to go sleep for 3 days.
Yeah. All right, well, Scott Dalla, all right, well, rest up, my friend. I know you've been busy lately. We will talk to you next week about X3. The film site, or the website, rather, is filmfeverradio.com, a joint venture between Scott Dalla and Aaron Geek in the city. All right, man, enjoy your weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Talk to you soon. Take it easy. There you go. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. All right, there you go. Here's what we got to do. We're not going to get to the top five.
I know.
We've got this Scotty J. Mann on the Street thing, a little bit of City Desk stuff, and I got this Inquirer. Let me see if there's anything here that is not out of date since I've been teasing this for like a year.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to the City Desk while you're looking.
Look at you multitasking. That's why you get paid the big bucks. Let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From higher south of one of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. It was all fake. That suicide attempt we told you about that led U.S. troops to attack Guantanamo Bay prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put it all on just to get them inside so they could attack them. They pretended somebody was committing suicide. Then when the U.S. troops intervened, they attacked with makeshift weapons such as light fixtures, sticks, and fan blades.
So it was so the suicide attempt was just to lull the man in,
mm-hmm.
and then they attacked.
Mm-hmm. With fan blades, light fixtures, and sticks, it took the U.S. troops an hour to get this under control.
Well, you know,
with the latest high-tech weapons.
It took me like a second and a half to realize you shouldn't give felons in a prison fan blades. I mean, anything that ends in blade seems like something that should be on the you-can't-have-it list. Not yours.
Meanwhile, a giant 700-pound, 12-foot-long alligator was captured and pulled from a Florida canal by fearful residents calling for help. A crane and several men were needed to lift this alligator, and they duct taped its mouth shut, too, and it worked. Duct tape can be used on alligators.
Duct tape really can be used on anything. That was, where did that happen?
This happened in Florida.
All right,
a 700-pounder.
Thank you.
People complained, saying it was a nuisance. It was the biggest alligator ever cut in Miami-Dade County. See the size of this monster? Look at that. And it was duct tape.
Oh, my God.
It's on my website.
Is that real?
Yeah, of course it's real, yeah. We don't talk about fake alligators on this program.
Okay, but hold on just a second. Sarah's reaching for the...
Did anyone ever send you that picture of the Loch Ness Monster?
No, nobody ever did. That is,
darn them all.
Okay, something really is happening here because this is the largest ever caught, you said?
Yeah.
Here.
Go to my website. It's
so it really isn't just coincidence and the media making mountains out of molehills. Something clearly...
That's a giant alligator.
Something clearly is up that we have all these alligator attacks and now they pick the big... Look at how big that is. That's at timrileymedia.com, by the way.
Oh, my God.
That... Okay, let me just say it. Fish like this, swallow you whole. Little shaken, tenderizing, down you go. That thing would kill you dead.
Oh.
Didn't that terrify you?
That is huge.
I mean, the human leg would just be an hors d'oeuvre.
Would just go right down.
It looks like a CGI alligator from a movie.
Go to timrileymedia.com. Let's see. We'll get at these quickly. Alan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
It's Eric.
Okay, Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I'm a Christian of the Utah variety, and a bunch of friends are going to see that movie tonight. And Scott Daly stole my thunder. It is a novel, and that's all it is.
No, I'm with you. It says fiction in big letters. That should kind of be the giveaway. Yeah.
And one other thing.
Yes, sir.
X3, because Brett Ratner is going to suck.
I know. The word is... I mean, I realize I'm in the minority here, but I didn't think the first two were all that. And the third one, the fanboys have known from like day one that the X3 is going to blow.
Yeah.
It's going to both blow and suck simultaneously. And I'm saying right now that anybody complains about spending $9 on it, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be any good.
Exactly. Anyways, right. Have fun.
Thank you, Eric. All right, I'll do one more quickly here. Alan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's
Hello,
up?
Hello, love the show.
Thank you.
One thing I think the Christians are having problems with the idea of Jesus being married is that he's supposed to uniquely be a human being and God at the same time.
Yes.
So if he has kids, they're going to be God at the same time. I don't think they can deal with that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's like a recessive gene thing. Just because your father is Jesus, I don't know if that means. It might be like a sky high kind of thing where the superpowers don't necessarily
transfer to the kids. Huh?
Yeah, that would be my observation.
All right. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Love the music, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's going to be our gently transitioning away from this topic to something else, music. And here's Tim Riley.
Have the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
High speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux. Now just listen,
there is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Here's your geek news.
Well, Trekkies will be setting their phasers to bid this fall when Christie's holds its first official studio auction memorabilia from all five Star Trek television series and 10 movie spinoffs. CBS Paramount Television Studios is cleaning out its vaults for the sale, comprising more than 1,000 lots, totaling more than 4,000 items to be held October 5th through the 7th in conjunction with the 40th anniversary of the original Star Trek series. Fans and collectors will have the chance to acquire Star Trek's artifacts ranging from models of the starship USS Enterprise to Captain James Kirk uniform or Captain Jean-Luc Picard's jumpsuit in an auction where Christie's expects to raise more than $3 million. Other items to hit the block will include props, weapons, prosthetics, set dressings unearthed from the five Paramount warehouses.
Fantastic.
Among the highlights are miniature Starship Enterprise used for visual effects in the film Star Trek.
I can't even imagine how much money they're going to make on that. I've been to the Sci-Fi Museum. They got some of the Star Trek stuff, including Kirk's chair, which is strangely unimpressive when you see it in person. But, I mean,
it's a hairdresser's chair from the 60s.
And it's all wooden and falling apart, and the phasers are all made of wood. It's kind of sad, actually, when you see it. And you can't take photos of it and can't even touch Kirk's chair. All right. Sarah just...
Good thing we're the people.
I know that's the... yeah, I know what that look means. Okay, let's do the second half, and then we're going to have Scotty Jacob on it. We haven't done Scotty's Man on the Street bit.
Like all parents, Marcus Weldy and his wife Rebecca...
Marcus Welby?
Weldy.
Oh, okay.
And his wife Rebecca McInnes Weldy of Nikiski, that's in Alaska, are hoping the newborn baby will live long and prosper, but they want to step further to ensure their son's future. They decided to name him James Tobias Kirk Weldy.
Tiberius.
Huh? Welby. That according to the captain's log, which was added to the family fleet at 4:31 a.m. on Friday, April 21st. Well, the words are coming out of my mouth.
Is that how it's written?
It certainly is, yes.
Can I see this?
Yes, you can read it yourself if you so desire.
Thank you.
I don't want to take all the joy away.
The Associated Press are hoping their newborn baby will live long and prosper. But we would try to name him James Tiberius Kirk Weldy. Said Rebecca in regards to the newest family member who, yes, you're right, who, according to the captain's log, was added to the family fleet at 5:31 on Friday. La 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 la. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, as Rebecca tells it, it was her mother who pushed to go where... No parents have gone before in terms of baby naming. La, 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 la. Oh, God. Well, it's good that they're breeding with each other, at least. All right, there you go. That's the end. There's your Geek Watch on Friday.
By Grapthar's hammer, by the Sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Sometimes Tim leaves and sometimes he runs for the door. Like
today has been a whole running for the door.
Well, it's... It's been an odd program, to say the least.
Look, it's Scotty J.
Hi, Scotty J.
How's it going, guys?
Intern Scotty J in the house. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
All right,
except for this song. Can't
don't,
stand
hey,
it.
Don't bust on the song.
Awesome. Genius. A lot of people call in and say that they were gonna end it if you played this any longer.
Oh, see, I didn't think anyone was complaining, but I forgot I'm not screening the call today.
No, they're not complaining. You just can't hear the gunshots.
I can't hear it.
All right, so we've been, now this has become a regular feature on the Rick Emerson Show, the rather unique production stylings of Scotty J. Your man on the street bits have now become legendary already in a short 3 weeks. I haven't heard this. Tell us, you want to give us a little background on today's man on the street segment before we play it?
Well, we have a historic thing about to happen on Sunday.
We didn't even talk about that today. The Trojan nuclear facility
is going to
implode. It's kind of sad. Well, we'll do it Monday.
That's right.
So the Trojan cooling plant is going to be blown up.
That's right. So I felt the need to go out there and double check and make sure that the dynamite has been put in place properly and report back to you on that before they blow it all away.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Emerson Street Beat, the third, Trojan, blah, 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 Scotty J. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to close the, that's my fault. I got to close the that crazy Japanimation thing. All right. Here we go. And for the love of God. All right. Here we go.
Scotty J reporting Rick kicked me to the curb in Rainier to get the scoop on Sunday's dynamite Trojan implosion. I'm entering the cooling tower as we speak.
Whoa, this place is huge. Definitely cocked and loaded to burst.
Hey, you, out of this tower. I'll have you arrested for trespassing.
I'm here for the people. I can clearly see Trojan has been ribbed for high pressure. Just a couple of quick questions. Your name, officer?
Ivan Peenwood.
What?
That's got it.
It's the wood that makes you good, right?
No, it's the wood you get the f*** out.
Hey, we're on the air, Woody. Refrain from profanities and give your respect to
Trojan Man.
And the latex you've managed to wrap yourself in won't protect you either.
I'm hearing that. How do we control the population with Trojan gun?
Listen, buddy, I don't care if you're from condominiums or us or whatever in the hell you...
I gotta bleep that, actually. That was probably insufficient.
You think?
Oh, no. That was... I don't know. I'm a little unclear about that. That might have been a little... I'm sorry. This is my fault. I should have listened to it. I'm sorry.
Scotty, he works all week on these things, and you blew it.
I'm sorry. Now we'll have to play it again. We'll have to play it next week.
Well, it's going to be outdated then.
That's okay.
Okay.
We will clean it up.
No, that's okay.
That sounded awesome.
It really did. No, it's... No.
This is what I deal with. He's a freak about the dump button.
I'm just saying. No. It sounds fantastically well done. We'll play it next week, though. It'll be horrifically outdated. But it does sound like another...
We got a break.
All right. We have to break here. So we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll finish things up after this. Stay there. It's Friday. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Subject line of this Kirk's chair. Kirk's chair? Unimpressive? How could that be? After all, it is a chair. You retard. Thank you. What else? How about this? Fan blades. Rick, what the hell? Sticks, light fixtures, and fan blades. Are our troops under attack from the Crimson Permanent Assurance? Aaron, that's a little... Oh, I'm sorry. We won't play the whole thing. That's a little... Keep spreading the word. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. What are we, like 256 on coming, sir? All right. What else? And so forth. I've got all these McCartney things coming in here. Rick, blah, blah, blah is her middle name, Eileen. Blah, blah, blah. Perlike is apparently she will get or could get up to $1.9 million for every week she was married to Paul McCartney. That is seriously. Well, and you know the worst thing about that is, never mind. I got to read this. I am going to get this done. Subject line of this story: the headline is "Dirty Dancer Goes Hip Hop." It's been more than a decade since hunk Patrick Swayze wrote and recorded the smash hit She's Like the Wind for his hit film Dirty Dancing. But now the actor is putting his dirty dance shoes back on to become a hip-hop artist.
No.
Yes. When Swayze's rap buddy Antonius Maximus got him involved in, wait for it, a rap demo of She's Like the Wind, Harris, horrified. The 53-year-old actor dancer claims he discovered that he has a hidden talent for hip-hop. Now, after putting together the new rap remix, Swayze says he aspires to work with the likes of LL Cool J and Eminem and wants to add Rap Star to his resume. Quote, this is Patrick Swayze, maybe I was a black man in another life, end quote, says Patrick Swayze. But I found that this driving emotional current in rap rhythm can add a lot of power. Some wonderful stuff has come out of my hip-hop experimentation.
He wants to make that a hip-hop song. She's like the wind through my trees.
Because he thinks
rides the night next to me.
He thinks that, quote, he was a black man in another life. That's Patrick Swayze. Swayze thinks he's a natural when it comes to rap and says lyrics come to me hot and heavy. The Texas-born Swayze, whose mother once had the first and only all-black dance company in the South, said, quote, the black audience has been a huge part of my, Patrick Swayze's, fan base for years, end quote. There you go. Well, let's just take this music out, sir. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, intern Scotty J. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We, of course, will see you Monday at noon. We thank you for listening. We want to thank Senior Radio Correspondents Ed McCarthy and Lisa Goddard today. Enjoy your weekend. I hope you didn't bicycle to work today. We will see y'all on Monday. Have a good one. And I got like 30 seconds here, don't I? Speak really slowly as I wrap up today's program. On Monday, Clyde Lewis will be stopping by in the studio with us, by the way.
Yay.
Peter Carlin will have his Sopranos wrap up. And next week, we are joined by the one and only Richard Nunn. You've got that to look forward to. So from all of us in our family to all of us in your family, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. See you Monday. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.